Hey everybody. My name's Art and I'm another addict. And I say that because I'm just that run-of-the-mill addict. I'm not any different than any of you. You know, I come up here today and I was asked by the committee to share on this topic of getting out of our own way. And you know, as I'm standing up here before I came up, you know, the anxiety starts to come up and I look at all of you out there, and, you know, I think you got some expectations or something like that, but, you know, the bottom line is I'm an addict just like everybody else in this room, and I feel very comfortable among people who are just like me, and I want to thank the Narcotics Anonymous program for that. Getting out of our own way. You know, when I first came in here, along with my addiction, I brought in a lot of patterns of thinking and behavior that were, you know, from the street, from using, you know, this ring of protection that I kind of had around myself. And, you know, doing it my own way was what kept me alive, you know. So why should I, when I come in here, throw all that thinking out the window? That's what, in my mind, kept me here, you know, kept me alive, got me out of those seemingly impossible situations when I was using, you know. I was able to survive, you know, and tell me to come in here and just unlearn everything and, you know, start this new way of life, man, I'm not going to believe that. You know, I'm a skeptic, you know. I got to see tangible evidence in front of me. You know, and that was my biggest problem coming in here, is, you know, doing it my own way, you know. I couldn't take suggestions, it was unteachable, you know. And like I said, because it had worked for me. After all, look, I'm alive. I'm different than a lot of my other friends, jails, institutions, and death. You know, what made me different? You know, my first sponsor asked me that question was having trouble with this, you know. My ego was so big when I came in here that I thought I got myself in here, you know. I put myself in here. The bottom line is that it's grace, you know. It's grace and mercy. Mercy is a gift that's given and not necessarily deserved, you know. And that's the difference between me and my friends. Some power greater than myself, you know, was able to work in my life, and for some reason I let that power in. I took the suggestion and I went to a rehab. You know, it wasn't the first time I went to a rehab. I went to, you know, 3 or 4 rehabs, you know, but this last time was different. I'd hit a bottom. I really hit a bottom. I was living in a car, you know. My sponsor jokes when I wanted to make a geographical cure, you know, I switched parking spots. You know, that was my life. My existence was in a plastic bag, and you know, that was my thinking. That was my way. You know, but I was alive. You know, that's what I credited myself with. You know, coming in here, I had to learn a whole new way of life. And I had to start trusting people. I was standing up on the balcony as you kind of walk in and seeing the hug squad out there. And I'm not a big hugger. I'm not, you know, that type of person. But the unconditional love that people were giving to one another, just with that representative of a hug, you know, just to let somebody in, just not to do it your way, just to let somebody into your world. It's just something, it's a beautiful thing to watch, you know. And I got to remember that coming to this convention, you know. The other thing about doing it my way is you know, there's a program of Narcotics Anonymous. There's 12 steps, 12 traditions, kind of a guideline to life, you know, without the use of drugs. And, you know, I think that for some reason, I'm that special kind of addict where I can kind of don't have to follow that path exactly, you know. There's a clear path, and for some reason I think I can go down in the bushes and kind of whack a new path, you know, and make my own way. Because my ego, here again, it's that thing of me, my ego, you know. That's what I deal with on a daily basis. And what these steps do, and sponsorship, and trust, and all these other things that the program teaches us is, you know, to let go of that ego, to learn a new way of life. You know, the first step, that I'm powerless. My life is unmanageable, you know. That was a big admission for a hell of a guy like me, you know. It wasn't unmanageable on the surface, but what I came to learn in the first step was the only thing I could come to change is my attitude, you know. But that took a year and a half to learn, that the way I did things, I paid an exorbitant price to do things my way, whether it was with employers, you know, an inability to look at oneself, you know, an inability to look at my own character defects, you know, to admit that I'm wrong. You know, that was the hardest thing. Because if I admit I'm wrong, then everything up until that point means, you know, that I didn't know anything. And my self-esteem was so low that I just couldn't admit that I don't know anything, you know. I had to hold on to some part of my knowledge, you know. But what a good sponsor does is he breaks that down, you know, and that's what my sponsor did to me. You know, the second step, coming to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. You know, that there even is a power greater than ourselves. You know, what happened to me was coming to meetings, going to a lot of meetings. You know, hearing testimonies and seeing people get through seemingly impossible situations, taking a suggestion and having it work for them. And that gave me a little bit of hope. You know, this is where the hope for me started. You know, and then working these steps and just trying to incorporate them in your daily life. For me, you know, it's you stay clean, okay, that's great. You know, but what about you go to a meeting, that's great. But what about the other 23 hours of the day? What happens when you deal with that situation where you really don't know what the outcome is? You know, how do I get out of my way and hold on to my manhood? Hold on to my ego? Hold on to my position? You know, all these other things. You know, this is what the steps do for me. You know, a lot of these steps, this comes over time. Getting out of my own way, you know, I have a willfulness that I need to do things my own way. The other thing is isolation. You know, when I do things my way, you know, I become isolated. You know, I lose that team concept. You know, what happens in Narcotics Anonymous is we all lift each other up. You know, we all bring each other to a point where we can stay clean. And this is where I learned. And to transfer that into my workplace, into my everyday life, is difficult. You know, what about that one situation? That one situation for me, coming into recovery, you know, I didn't take suggestions. I didn't stay out of relationships. In fact, my first year, I celebrated my first year anniversary. My daughter was born. I moved out of my recovery house, and I moved in with my girlfriend. That goes to tell you what I was working on. I don't think I took any suggestions from anybody, you know. I did it my way. I was going to show you, you know. I was going to show you. A lot of pain involved. You know, a couple years later, you know, it came to the point where my daughter's mother was using again, you know. And so it came to a custody thing. I don't know if any of you have been through custody, but real life issues, you know, we relapse in our behavior long before we pick up. And these type of issues push us to the brink, you know, of doing things our way, losing faith, not being able to take suggestions from attorneys. You know, people who are more knowledgeable. I don't have an attorney's, you know, I don't have a law degree. For some reason, I thought I knew better. And I paid an exorbitant price, a lot of money. That didn't have to go. If I had just sat back and let things go the way they were naturally going to go, it would have worked itself out anyways. You know, another lesson learned. You know, these, when I stand in the way and I don't get out of my own way, you know, the price is almost to the point where I relapse, you know, where I'm left standing alone, isolated, fearful, you know, all those things that press me to the brink of where I want to use again, where I just don't want to feel like I'm by myself. You know, the option of just doing it somebody else's way started with taking simple suggestions from a sponsor. You know, don't hang around those same people. Don't go to places where people are using. You know, for some reason I think I can go to a bar and celebrate with all my you know, guys I work with at Christmas time. You know, I think I can go to these places. You know, people who can't swim shouldn't hang around a pool, you know, and it took me a long time to learn that, you know. But we learn these things, and as long as we don't pick up, you know, we have a chance. The thing that really helps me with getting out of my own way is the seventh step, you know, humbly asking to have these things removed, you know. The seventh step for me is the key to everything. And my sponsor told me when I came up here, just don't talk from, you know, from your knowledge, talk from the book. And it says in the book, humility is as much a part of staying clean as food and water is to staying alive. You know? And that's the bottom line. You know, I have to get humble in this program. I have to do a lot of things that go counterintuitive to my street knowledge. You know, I have to trust unconditionally. I have to love unconditionally. I have to do whatever I want more of. I have to give more of. You know, that doesn't work when you're on the street and you're trying to cop or you're trying to do something. You know, isn't nobody going to give you dope because you love them, you know, because you don't give them a hug, you know. I'm feeling sick, you know. Nobody does that. So I had to unlearn this old behavior, you know, and I had to come in here and learn a new way of life. And that's what these steps continue to do, you know. Like I said, real life situations. You know, I was unemployable when I came in here. I just want to tell you what the things Narcotics Anonymous have done for me. You know, it's allowed me to go back into the field which I train in, you know, which I do. I'm a tradesman, you know, I build cabinets, I do all these kind of things, and you know, I couldn't work a day without, you know, slipping out at lunchtime, you know, going and copping in the middle of the day, coming with an excuse not to show up, you know, just all these things, you know. And and what it did, it restored me and it gave me an opportunity to get a job at the peak of my, you know, I guess career, you know, my trade. You know, I'm in this place in Washington, you know, amongst, you know, the top people in the world, and you know, I'm building these things and I'm doing all this and I'm a subcontractor, and you know, I lost my temper, you know. I let somebody get in my way, and I had to go to court, and all that stuff that I built up in an instant because of pleading guilty to a stupid, you know, charge is gone. You know, just an instant. I can go from heaven to hell in a thought, and I can revert back to that old addict, you know? And it's all just because I think I can control a situation. You know, I did damage to somebody's property, and I got charged with malicious destruction of property under $500. And if you want to be embarrassed, you know, try standing in front of a judge clean and sober, you know. Try explaining your character defects to a judge, you know. Try going on a job interview and having your security clearance taken away because the job that you got and you worked all those years for, 20 years trying to get back in, you lost because of, you know, an instant, you know. This is what happens when I get in my own way, you know. And I can't turn things over, and I can't use the program, and I can't use all these tools, you know, that I've been given. Trust, you know, trusting in the process, you know, turning the other way, not acting out on instinct. You know, these are all the things that I have to kind of do the opposite of in recovery. You know, this is a wonderful program, and it has allowed me, you know, to recover a part of my life that I thought I'd never get back. And I'm living beyond what, you know, my expectations in the beginning were. When I first came into Narcotics Anonymous, all I wanted, because all my clothes were in a bag, was clean T-shirts, like a collection of good T-shirts, you know. A closet to put them in. A car that I owned, that I drive, that was legal, you know. Just all these things. And now, you know, I've got all these things. But they, you know, everything I've accumulated, everything I've acquired, everything I've gotten from grace and love and, you know, all these other people, you know, can all fit into a pill, into a syringe, into a drink, into anything, you know. All that can be gone, you know, in an instant. And I have to be ever vigilant, you know, of just staying out of my own way, taking a sponsor's suggestion. I could go on and do things my own way anyways, you know, but why don't I try somebody else's way? You know, what is that thing inside of me that tells me I am smarter than the average bear, that I know everything, you know, that I just know a better way, you know? It's lack of humility. It's lack of humility, and that's what it is for me. And I have to, like I said, just continue to maintain some humility in this program. That's all I got. I hope that you got something out of it. And thank you for letting me share it.